This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Thursday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. Program, as always, being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, and another jam-packed program. We've got college football semifinals starting tonight and tomorrow. Ben Stevens of VSiN will join the program in the second segment. We'll take a long look at the injury report here at the top. I do kind of like the playoffs and fewer games. You could really, really home in on the important injuries out there as it relates to the prop market. I love using banged up players as a crutch, quite frankly, and a means to get dubs, basically. So we'll take a long look there. And then we'll also, in segment number three, starting at the bottom of the hour, we'll bring in our guy Tom Brawley, aka the Grinder. He is ready to rock and roll with some props for the wild card weekend. And I've taken a look at them. There's an under that the Grinder is in on. Now, this is a Monday night deal, but we'll cover it today with Tom Brawley. I am all in on this one as well. Another under. I've got at least three unders that I'm popping out this weekend. We got to get into the under business. Got to find a way. Got to scratch and claw our way to, do it, because they're winning picks for the most part. We absolutely crushed on unders this year. I would imagine our winning percentage on unders is over 65% this year. So why wouldn't we is the question. And then since, we've got a little bit more time to focus on all the hashtag analysis and all the data points, I am going to pop out official picks for the Saturday games. Already have done all my detailed write-ups on those games. So why not? We can spend a little bit more time on the props, the picks at the end of the show here, final segment. And then on Friday's show, we do have a couple of big-time guests lined up for us, by the way. Spoiler alert, Nick Bakay, actor, writer, producer, Bills Mafia leader, Bills savant, basically. He will join the program along with my guy, former NFL quarterback of the Chicago Bears, among other teams, also does a lot of work in Chicago, Mr. Jim Miller. So I'll get his thoughts on Caleb Williams, how well he's playing. We'll get some thoughts on the matchups and the like. And I've known Jim for over 20 years, so him and I have a pretty good rapport. We've spent a lot of time talking ball, so always nice to have a former player give his perspective. That'll be on tomorrow's show. Make sure you download the Prop Points podcast, wherever you're getting your pods, Apple, Spotify, and the like. We will start with a couple of firings out there, unfortunately. The Miami Dolphins, I'm sure you've heard by now, have let Mr. Mike McDaniel go. And real shame. I thought that he would hold on to the job. But quite frankly, when they were in the doldrums early in the season, mid-season, my thought was, probably better off being an offensive coordinator. Let him just sit back and be the offensive, guru, if you will. I was going to say another word, but I won't go there. But, he's just a little off compared to other head coaches. I had a very fascinating interaction with him. I was telling our producer, Michael Cohen, when he took the job, he at his introductory press conference, he started pumping up. This is before they traded for Tyreek Hill. He started pumping up Jalen Waddle, talking about fantasy football. So I saw him at the combine. I'm like, yo, coach, you got to simmer down with that Waddle talk. You're going to put me out of a job. And he's like, oh, why? And then, very fascinating guy. My takeaway was this is the most unique cat to ever coach in the NFL. And I was rooting for him for sure. Obviously, he's a very smart guy, but probably doesn't have the personality to be a head coach. I mean, let's just keep it real here. I think he's great. And I think he can be like a legendary coordinator. Maybe in his later years, things could change in a decade or two. He's still a relatively young guy, but they're going to have to start from scratch here, because I don't know. What do we do? Does this change things with Tua? perhaps. I mean, that could be the reason this all happened. So maybe Tua Tagovailoa will stick around, but you know, they don't have a ton to work with there. Devon Achane is a transcendent player in this league right now, but they do have some players on defense and not a bad old line. So I guess it's not that horrible of a spot, but I guess that's my big question. Was this a Tua Tagovailoa related item? Maybe Tua not feeling it in this offense with McDaniel. I mean, he did bench Tua, and Stephen Ross, the owner, they're probably a lot more invested in Tua than they are in McDaniel. I don't look at the contracts like others do, but that's a quick thought there. Now, another thought, the Bucs fired OC Josh Grizzard. And it's always tough when you get a first-time guy because who knows? I mean, maybe Josh Grizzard coming out of the McVay tree is really good. But I was kind of not in on Baker just because, yeah, I didn't know if Grizzard would be good or bad, but I did know that Liam Cohen was good. So I'm like, best case scenario is he's as good as Cohen, which is really unrealistic because Cohen was unbelievable. So I was kind of not in on Baker, a little worried about the first time play caller in Grizzard, and there it is. That's why I'm, you know, always focusing on offensive coordinators and play callers because, you know, it's very, very important. And when you have a first-time guy, I mean, we're all kind of going in blind. We just did not know. And overall, I would say that the real impact, and Baker obviously completely devolved as the season progressed, but the real noticeable ingredient that was missing from the year before was a diverse and deadly running attack. And I think we got to give Liam Cohen credit for that. Adam Schefter reporting the Giants will interview former player of the Giants, Antonio Pierce, and former Raiders head coach. I would opine that they should not go there. I know he did a pretty good job. He was a hell of a player, played with a nasty edge, but there's a guy who was in the media. Here's a tip. Don't hire anyone who was in the media because it doesn't really go very well. How about this one? Broncos head coach Sean Payton said that J.K. Dobbins could return to the AFC Championship if the team advances that far. They're not going that far in my bracket, but again, I am a little bit of a Broncos hater. Let's take a look here quickly at the injury report. Rams-Panthers, Devontae Adams still practicing in full. Terrence Ferguson still out of practice, so that probably bodes well for Colby Parkinson and Tyler Higbee, but Higbee's still a little limited, but he's just coming back from the injury, so I'm not too worried about that. Quentin Lake returning off of IR, gets in a full practice. Derek Brown is the only player of note who did not practice yesterday for the Panthers, but that's a rest situation. Whenever you got the big bodies, a lot of times these dudes are just resting just because they're old or very large. Packers, Bears, we've got obviously Jordan Love practicing. Dontavian Wicks still limited, as is Javon Bullard, but I would imagine they'll go. I don't know about Bo Melton, but he's just a role player for them. For the Bears, no CJ Gardner-Johnson, and I'm assuming that Kyler Gordon, activated off the IR, will replace him if Gardner-Johnson can't go. But, you know, the Bears are a little banged up here. With Gordon having not played in like a couple of months, Jalen Jones is their nickel corner. He's also has been limited along with Kyler Gordon. And last week, boy, Jalen Johnson, Nashawn Wright, and CJ Gardner-Johnson, the three corners for the Bears, they all gave up at least four grabs for 68. Up against the Lions. Obviously, Amon-Ra went off in that game. Bills-Jaguars, we still have Terrell Bernard. He's been banged up for a while. Linebacker, we'll see about Ty Johnson. I'm not sure what his deal is. He's been out of practice. Dalton Kincaid, looks like he's doing a little bit more than he's done leading up to maybe the last three, four games of the regular season. Matt Milano out of practice. We'll see what's up with that. It's probably just, you know, he's old. For the Jaguars, they do have all three corners are a little banged up here. Monteric Brown limited. Jerrion Jones is their starting slot corner. And then Greg Newsom. That could be decent news for Josh Allen. Niners, Eagles, George Kittle limited. He'll go, obviously. McCaffrey out of practice. That is a rest thing. But Ricky Pearsall, we got to get Ricky out there like today. We got to get a practice for Ricky today or else it won't look good. Trent Williams, same deal, out of practice, not good. Also for the Eagles, they have a bunch of guys limited, N'Kobe Dean, Jalen Carter, I'm sure they'll all go, Dallas Goedert, Lane Johnson, that's a very big one there, very important. Jalen Phillips gets a full practice in, Chargers, Patriots, Keenan Allen, that's a rest situation, Aaron Hampton out of practice to open the week, but Justin Herbert was back. Nothing else of note there. Patriots got a bunch of dudes limited. That's the Belichick tradition, I guess. Hunter Henry, Harold Landry, Morgan Moses, the right tackle, Spillane, the linebacker. We'll see if we're worried about these guys in 24 hours. But there it is. We didn't cover the Monday game because they, you know, haven't started the practice week just yet. But we will start talking college football with our guy Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday next year on the program. But first, head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro and get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every day. Sign up now and get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus expert picks and prop data throughout the NFL and college football season and the playoffs, of course. Get started today for just $9.99 and save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. And how lucky are we? We've got football tonight, Ole Miss and Miami. We got it tomorrow and then the playoffs. Ben Stevens next to talk college football on Prop Points. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this very jam-packed Thursday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, and we go to the Progressive Guest Line, as promised, Ben Stevens, the co-host of Live Bet Saturday, right here on VSiN on the X Machine at Ben Scott Stevens, and we welcome him in now. What is up, Ben? Happy New Year. How's it going?
John, Happy New Year to you. It feels like a very festive time. Still, we start this glorious five-day run of postseason winner-take-all football on this Thursday with the first of two college football playoff semifinals, the Fiesta Bowl in Glendale, Arizona, between Ole Miss and Miami. And tomorrow night in Atlanta, an all Big Ten affair for a spot in the national championship game, the Peach Bowl between Oregon and Indiana. I am fired up, John.
It is a good time to be alive. I may not go outside until Tuesday. So let's get into it here. Tonight's game, number 10, Miami at number 6, Ole Miss. You're going to go in on Mark Fletcher, 89 plus rushing yards. He got there last time out by 1 yard. Of course, the game before, my man ran for a 172. So what are you seeing there?
Yeah, John, it's really that component for this Miami offense and Mark Fletcher Jr. He has been the main engine throughout the college football playoff when the rest of the Canes have not been overly productive on the offensive side of the ball. It's been that Miami defense leading them to this spot for a return trip to South Florida and a spot in the national championship game. I think if Miami is going to win and cover as a 3-point favorite tonight in the Fiesta Bowl against the Rebs, Mark Fletcher Jr. has to get through that number of 89 plus rushing yards. Two of the five games he has rushed for at least 90 yards this year. in this year college football playoff. And it's been an Ole Miss defense this year, John, that has not been nearly as stout up front as a season ago. They were the second best rushing defense in the sport last year, just a tick over 80 yards per game allowed. This year, more than 150 yards per game allowed. They have been really good in the college football playoff against Tulane and Georgia, but the leading rusher for the Green Wave, Jabari McClure, 84 yards on the ground. Nate Frazier for Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, albeit a defeat for the Dogs, 86 rushing yards. I think Mark Fletcher Jr. can have success. And not just think, John, I know that if Miami is going to win this football game, it starts with their workhorse in the backfield, 89-plus rushing yards for Mark Fletcher Jr. tonight for Miami.
Trinidad Chambliss, like, you know, I don't watch a lot of college football, but I mean, even I know the guy's balling like crazy. You like 32 plus pass attempts. He attempted 46 last time out, not as many against Mississippi, against Tulane. But you like the over here with, you know, obviously higher stakes, tougher competition.
Yeah, I do expect Miami to win this game, John. I think one of the reasons the Hurricanes will come out on top is because of that defense. One of the best fronts in all of college football this year, led by Reuben Bain Jr. and Akeem Mezidor. It is difficult for even the best quarterbacks or offensive schemes to have success against that Miami D-line. They sacked Marcel Reed 7 times in their opening college football playoff win. They got the Julian Sayin 5 times in the Cotton Bowl on New Year's Eve night. I think they are going to put pressure on Trinidad Chambliss. And against Kewon Lacy, Ole Miss's leading rusher with 23 rushing touchdowns this year, I think they will be able to stifle the ground game. Thus, Trinidad Chambliss, playing from the deficit tonight for Ole Miss, will have to throw the football a little bit more. 46 attempts and making magical throw after magical throw against that Georgia defense. John did not have to throw as much against Tulane, but in the final four games of the regular season for Chambliss, at least 33 passing attempts as well. I think if Ole Miss is going to pull off the slight upset tonight, it starts with their quarterback and his right arm. And I do believe Charlie Weiss Jr., the offensive coordinator, still at least for one more game for this Ole Miss offense, is going to trust his quarterback to make the downfield throws necessary to beat this Miami defense.
It's unbelievable, Charlie Weiss Jr. I know he got hired for his dad when he was probably like 4. But, you know, I used to do a radio show with his father, Charlie Weiss. I was introduced to him through our mutual friend Michael Cohen's father, Steve Cohen, and it really is amazing. And, you know, by the way, not for nothing, but you know my takeaway working with Charlie Weiss Sr. for a whole radio show, a 3-hour radio show once a week, my takeaway was, you know, the whole thought process, the Belichickian way, the Patriot way, it's all common sense, basically. It's all common sense. So I'm as shocked, not shocked, but I'm just pleasantly surprised to see Charlie's son do so well. Real quick, before we move on to Oregon and Indiana, you did take Oregon plus 700 to win the championship before the playoffs started. Are you still in on that? Where are you at right now as of today on that?
Yeah, John, gave it out in the college football playoff betting guide on Visa that I expected Oregon to beat Texas Tech to get here to the semifinal and a potential rematch against Indiana. I love the value on the Ducks as the 12-team CFP bracket was unveiled at that 7-1 number. The way that I am then approaching the Peach Bowl, where Indiana is a 3.5-point favorite, most of the betting market on the Hoosiers, and frankly, I think IU does get the better of Oregon for a second time this year, is looking at those national championship prices that sees Indiana at plus 130. The clear front runner in my estimation, but still a plus money price. John, in the projected hypothetical national championship matchups, the winner of tomorrow night's Peach Bowl in Atlanta, either Indiana or Oregon, is going to be favored against the winner of tonight's Fiesta Bowl, that being Miami and Ole Miss. So I still do believe there is value on IU at plus 130 if I'm looking for a way to find a couple of plus money prices, a small sprinkle to hedge out on my Oregon 7-1 ticket that would by far be the biggest payday at the end of all of this.
You got a couple of Indiana Hoosiers here that you're in on, starting with Roman Hemby. You like lead rusher in the game at plus 190. I see he doesn't do much at all in the passing attack. He's got 18, looks like a volume guy here, 18 carries last week there. What do you see with him?
Yeah, John, when you look at where things stand for this Indiana backfield, Kalon Black has been the leading rusher for this Hoosiers offense in their last two games, two monumental games, Big Ten championship against Ohio State and in the Rose Bowl against Alabama. But everybody for Indiana had success, including Roman Hemby, who still ran the football 18 times against the Crimson Tide to the tune of 89 yards and a touchdown. Black right now is a minus 160 favorite to be tomorrow night's leading rusher. Oregon dealing with some injuries in terms of their backfield. Jordan Davison not going to play. They'll rely on the experience of the veteran in Noah Whittington. I do not think there should be this large of a distinction for IU's Kalon Black at minus 160 to be the game's leading rusher, as opposed to Roman Hemby at a plus 190 price. Even when Kalon Black has been the leading rusher, Hemby is still totaling at least 12 rushing attempts in the last seven games for this Indiana offense. I like the plus money value on Roman Hemby, who, in my estimation, if it's a true two-horse backfield, a true two-way split in the backfield for Indiana, Hemby's right there neck and neck, where it's more like a moneyline pick'em as opposed to minus 160 versus plus 190. I like Roman Hemby to be tomorrow night's leading rusher at that plus 190 price.
As far as, you know, scouting out Fernando Mendoza as he enters the NFL, it's not even official yet that he will, of course, I guess. But, you know, I'm still very early stage. I'm not sure he's going to be great, quite frankly, but obviously he's been great in these playoffs and he's been great all year. And again, I said this a million times, I don't watch a ton of college football, but I am a little weird in that I have a long history of making very early calls on players. And I get made fun of by, you know, like, you only saw eight plays. I'm like, I saw enough, trust me. And, you know, I know people make fun of me on that, but the reason I bring that up is because I'm watching the Ohio State game and I'm like, I love Charlie Becker. I never heard of him 24 hours earlier, but I'm watching this kid ball out. He had 6 for 126. I'm like, man. And then he made a couple of plays last week. And I'm like, I should have bet a prop because, I mean, I love this kid. What do you see here? 44 plus receiving yards. Dude's averaging 20 yards a catch on the season. So he can get this with maybe two grabs.
Yeah, John, it's been the emergence of Charlie Becker in this Indiana passing attack. Did not register a single reception in the first matchup in mid-October inside Autzen Stadium against this Oregon defense. But since starting in November, the six games he has played for IU in five of the six, at least 51 receiving yards. And of course, that critical opening touchdown in the score for IU in the Rose Bowl, the monumental game against Ohio State in that Big Ten championship, and many others, the comeback victory against Penn State, to name a few. John, Charlie Becker only had 150 total receiving yards in the first four games for Indiana this year, with the first four games that he played. Again, did not register a stat against Oregon in the first matchup in mid-October. A total of 461. 461 to 150 in the last six for this Indiana offense. He has become an incredibly significant component of this IU offensive attack. 44 plus receiving yards for Charlie Becker against that Oregon defense in the Peach Bowl.
Yeah, there it is. Great stuff from Ben Stevens. We'll follow you on the X Machine once again at Ben Scott Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday. No show this week, of course, but good luck with the plays, Ben. We'll talk to you down the line. And when we return, we'll also talk with our guy Tom Vrally, a.k.a. The Grinder, on this Thursday edition of Pop Points.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
ProfitX, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on college football national championship and Super Bowl odds. With a huge holiday slate shaping playoff seeding, now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of ProfitX's 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. Use the promo code VSIN to get started. And welcome back to this Thursday jam-packed edition of Prop Points here on VSIN. College football semi-playoff game tonight and tomorrow night. And then it's all NFL wild card weekend to help us with the NFL picks. Our guy, Tom Brawley, a.k.a. The Grinder, senior writer over at fantasypoints.com on the X Machine at Tom Brawley. How are you, Tom? How was week 18 for you, by the way? I had a solid week here. How about you?
Yeah, it was a good week. 4-3 overall in the player props. Got a couple ATS picks. My ATS picks actually have picked up a little bit in the back half of the season. Yeah. It was a pretty horrible start to the year, quite frankly. But I'm in a pool, an 80-man pool. I split an entry with Joe Dolan and another one of our friends. We actually won the week 18 week. So that was a nice little end of the year bonus at the end of the year. So. But yeah, the props were solid last week. Got to play for every game on the board this weekend. I'll continue to look out this weekend. I even dropped a couple of some lottery tickets. A lot of the books have these most rushing yards, most passing yards, most receiving yards for the wild card games. And I went through there and found some different values, and I dropped those in the Fantasy Points Discord. So anybody that's looking for like little lottery tickets and little fun things to watch this weekend, go over to our Fantasy Points Discord and check those out. Those are only plays given out to our Fantasy Points subscribers.
And you are Mr. Early Bird Gets the Worm, and we do have an Early Bird special going on right now till the Super Bowl, if you're interested, by the way. But real quick, we've been doing some early best bets like on Tuesday and Wednesday. And again, I'm not bragging here. But, you know, it's something positive. I mean, we've absolutely crushed it on these. And I already went in on a Kyren Williams prop, and that's your first prop. So we're sharing a brain there. What do you see with Kyren?
Yeah, I like this one a lot. I won a bet with him a couple of weeks ago. I think we talked about it on this show.
Yeah, you did.
There was the Monday night game against the Falcons. Needed a little bit of luck on
that one. For a while.
Yeah, it was. He was not. They were trailing big time, but he ended up getting a bunch of carries in the fourth quarter, ripped off a couple of long runs. So I'm expecting him to be involved from the start here. Could have some conditions in this game. We're gonna be watching that on Saturday. Could be some rain in the forecast, a little bit of wind. So might not be the most ideal conditions for passing. We'll see how it shapes up over the next 48 hours, but. Looks like a matchup here. We got the Rams 10.5-point favorites, should be controlling this game, should be, you know, they could tilt it a little bit more towards the running game this week. So like that, I think it's a little easier to attack the Panthers on the ground. Carolina's kind of had a sneaky good secondary all season, have been limiting passers and receivers a bunch this season. So so I like that factor of it. But looking at the game logs here, he's gotten a 70 or more yards in 7 of his last 9 games. I could see this backfield. It's kind of been a little bit more of a 50-50 split, but now that we're in the postseason, they trust Kyren Williams the most. I think maybe we see, I won't expect Blake Corum to totally go away, but maybe they go back to more of the 60-40 split, maybe even 65-35 kind of a split for the carries in this backfield. So maybe that happens as well. But, you know, digging through our metrics, Carolina's given up the 7th most yards before contact per attempt, 8th most rushing yards per game to the position. And, you know, really digging into it, he's really strong against man gap runs. And Carolina has been giving up close to 4.6 yards per carry on those type of runs. So matchup looks right. Game script looks potentially perfect here as 10-point favorites. Now that the postseason's coming, I think maybe that, you know, tilts maybe a couple extra carries towards Kyren Williams. We'll see how that all plays out. So I think everything's kind of adding up here that he has a lot of success and he gets back over that 70-yard mark, which has been kind of the magic number for him over the back half of the season. So I like Kyren Williams a lot here in the 4 o'clock game on Saturday.
You also like DeAndre Swift. A little scary, but I totally get it. And the number is seemingly doable, 56.5. What do you see with Swift?
Yeah, I like this number a lot. We hit it a couple of weeks ago with DeAndre Swift. It's been a little bit, they haven't run the ball nearly enough here over the last 2 weeks. And, you know, they lose in Chicago, they lose in San Francisco in that wild game that had 80 points in it. Lose last week. They fall behind and kind of abandon the run a little bit. So I think this week, Ben Johnson, they're probably talking behind the scenes a little bit that we need to get this running game going again. That was what really propelled this offense. We know just a couple of weeks ago, Ben Johnson was saying that the offense was winning despite their passing game. So I think they know in the back of their heads that they need to get this running game going. And I think that involves getting DeAndre Swift the ball a little bit more here in the first half. Make sure they establish this running game a little bit. So he's gotten to 58 or more yards in 8 of his last 12 games since week 5. So this has been a number that he's been able to get to quite a bit since their week 5 bye. Green Bay's run defense, it's kind of falling apart here. We saw Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Couple of weeks ago, he just absolutely ran yep. all over them. It's been a shaky run defense in the second half of the season. So the overall numbers aren't nearly as bad, but the back half of the season is much worse. So I'm thinking that he's going to see the ball a lot here. And they also like to run a lot of zone type of runs. And he's averaging close to 5.3 yards per carry on those. And Green Bay allows the second highest success rate on those type of runs. So I think we could see Swift early and often in this game. I could see this game. I kind of lean towards the under in it. I do think this could be an old NFC North type of game. Saturday night could be a little bit windy. I could see the Packers also leaning into Josh Jacobs. So I could see both backs getting a bunch of carries in this game.
Believe it or not, week 18, I played a Brian Thomas Jr. over prop and it hit. I mean, I don't know what's more shocking, the fact that I played it or the fact that I hit it. But you're in on the under 43.5, and I'm with you because I think I'll see a lot of Christian Benford. But what else you got on BTJ?
Yeah, the matchup against Benford is pretty difficult here this week. So I think they would want to shut him down. He is the big play threat in this offense. Jacoby Myers and Parker Washington have been the more successful receivers this year, especially in the second half of the season. But Brian Thomas Jr., he's the one guy that can kind of break this game open. So I do think they might get Benford on him a little bit more this week. But Buffalo has been really good under Sean McDermott, keeping those two high safeties at back there, keeping, limiting teams from big plays, kind of making teams matriculate the ball down the field. And that is not the strength of Brian Thomas. He has kind of moved into that X receiver position. They use him out in the perimeter. They throw him go balls. Jacoby Myers, Brenton Strange, Parker Washington. Those guys are the ones doing the dirty work over the middle of the field. And that's probably what is going to be most successful in this matchup against the Bills. So I'm looking at Brian Thomas under 43.5 yards. Even the other big thing was, Parker Washington, I don't know if this is going to continue moving forward, but Parker Washington has jumped ahead of Brian Thomas in two wide receiver sets.
Outside.
Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thomas was down to a 64% route share last week. So I also accounted for that. If he's going to run a few, just a few less routes this week, that's going to hurt his bottom line as well. So everything's kind of adding up here to under 43.5. Of course, anytime you take an under, I do get a little bit worried. This is the highest total on the board. It is 51.5. So it is a little scary if this game does shoot out. But if we have a normal game state, I do think Thomas goes under.
You also like A.J. Brown to go over 65.5. That was minus 110 at Bet365. And also Demario Douglas, our old friend. You like the over 17.5. We don't have time for the hashtag analysis, but great stuff as always, Tom. And hopefully you could pop on with us on a Monday. We can reiterate that one. The Brian Thomas bet, that is Sunday. I do have an under for Monday that I'm really excited to pop out
all
for
right.
you when we get there.
Well, I'm definitely back. I want to hear it on Monday. So I'm jumping back for that.
There he is, Tom Brawley, the Grinder. And when we return, I will make official picks for Saturday's game here on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All righty, final segment here on this Thursday edition of Prop Points on VSiN. I thought it would be wise to get some picks out of the way so we're not rushing around like always. And we have three games that we'll deal with on tomorrow. Actually, no. Well, yeah, three, because we're going to hold off on the Monday game, even though I already did get in on a prop, by the way, that I alluded to with the grinder Tom Brawley. That prop was the Kenny Gainwell under 30.5 rushing yards. We'll revisit that on Monday. And again, Friday's show, we'll have former NFL quarterback Jim Miller, Bears radio color commentator. Knows a ton about the Chicago Bears, as well as our guy Nick Bakay, like an inaugural member of Bills Mafia, long-term Bills fan, and he crushed this year. He came on twice ahead of Bills national games, and he crushed on the Bills prop. So he'll join us tomorrow. Actor, writer, director. He played Elaine Bennis's boyfriend on Seinfeld's Smelly Car episode. Remember where he kept hugging her and he said it still stinks? That's him. Anyway, let's get into the picks. I am with the grinder Tom Brawley on Kyren Williams. We were in on this previously, so we'll gloss over it. But, you know, actually, we do have the time. Here's all the analysis on this. Carolina gives up the fifth most scheduled adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs in the running game only the last 5 weeks. That's good. It's worth plus 3.6 fantasy points to the total. Over the last 8 weeks of the season, they allowed the fifth most rushing yards per game, the eighth most explosive run percentage allowed, the fifth most missed tackles forced per attempt. They owned the fifth lowest stuffed percentage. They also gave up the ninth most yards per game on the zone concept runs. Kyren solid on those runs. They have been a little bit worse on those man and gap concept runs, which is pretty good news for Blake Corum. But Kyren also crushing those runs, as mentioned by the grinder. He's got the fourth best success rate on man gap runs over the last 8 weeks. It's 74.4%. So I think he's good. I think he's good to go. He still beat Blake Corum in snap share last week, 63-33. And Tom Brawley even thinks that that'll be widened in a must win. Blake Corum, I couldn't believe it, by the way. Dude's got pretty good DNA because he twisted his ankle a couple weeks ago. I thought for sure he was going to miss the finale, but there he was out there looking good. So here's a play that I'm going to be catatonic if this one doesn't hit. Let's just say that. I'm going to stare at a wall for about 2 hours. Tet McMillan, over 52.5 receiving yards, minus 115, bet MGM. I understand our guy Michael Cohen did bring up some good points here. It's his first playoff game. First playoff game for Bryce Young as well. Ram D is pretty good, but I got way more positives on Tet McMillan. Rams gave up the most scheduled adjusted fantasy points per game to outside receivers the final 5 weeks of the season. It was worth plus 7.5 fantasy points, which could be 75 yards. It could be a touchdown and 15 yards, but it could also be 75 yards. They also gave up the fifth most receiving yards per game to outside receivers on the season. It's also a good schematic matchup for Tet. He averages a strong 2.40 yards per route run on a lot of routes, 242, large sample size, against cover three and cover two, which they use 52% of the time. We, in our wide receiver cornerback tool at Fantasy Points, show Tet with the second best matchup score of the week. He'll often be on Emmanuel Forbes, the former number one pick who has improved but is still fairly giving. Maybe they get some help over the top to prevent a big play like Tet got last week, by the way. He only got two targets in the first matchup, which is a little scary, but you know what he did with those two targets? He somehow turned them into 11.3 fantasy points thanks to a 43-yard touchdown. Look, at the end of the day, they're 10.5-point home favorites with the second highest total on the board. If all these factors don't add up to 53 yards, again, I'm going to be stunned. Moving on. we're doing the first game here, by the way. We're doing the Panthers-Rams game. I'm going to go in on two Rico Dowdle props. I'll start with the bad one here. I'm going to go under. It's a little scary because it's only 48.5, but Los Angeles gives up the ninth fewest adjusted yards before contact. Now, they absolutely got debacled by Bijan Robinson 2 weeks ago, who ran for $195. But if you recall, that was my number one prop for the week in that game, the over on Bijan. Why? Because I knew that the Rams were bad against zone concept runs, and that's Bijan's deal. Unfortunately for Rico Dowdle, though, LA gives up the highest yard per carry average on zone concept runs over the last eight games, 5.6 yards per carry versus only 3.4 yards per carry on man gap runs. Out of 66 running backs with 25 carries or more the last 8 weeks, Rico Dowdle's 3.53 yards per carry on zone runs, only 51st. His 43% success rate in this matchup is only 53rd. Dowdle was at only 3.2 yards per carry in this matchup in week 13. He did have 58 yards rushing, but on 18 carries, he ain't getting 18 carries in this game. It's a little bit of a better schematic matchup, by the way, for Chuba Hubbard as well. So I'm going to go under on Rico, but I will go over on Rico on the receiving. We won this last week. We're like 4-0 on this, quite frankly. 13.5. LA gives up the fourth fewest schedule adjusted fantasy points per game in the passing game, in the passing game only. And Dowdle still out snapped Hubbard in route share, let him in route share, basically. He's the safer bet to catch a couple of checkdowns here. I also like Tyler Higbee. I know it's a little risky. He's still in the injury report, but look, I mean, he just returned last week and he balled the hell out. 23.5 receiving yards, I think it's very doable, minus 114 on FanDuel. Carolina gives up the eighth most receiving yards per game to tight ends. Last week, Cade Otton cleaned up over the middle and underneath. They use the third highest rate of cover three, so I like this one a lot. We're already behind schedule. Let me get into the other ones here that I like for the other game. I like DeAndre Swift. I'm with the grinder. He gave out all the good points here. The schematic matchup was enough for me. They have the Packers the most rushing yards per game on zone runs the last 8 weeks. 74% of Swift's runs are on those zone runs, fourth most. He has 5.89 yards per carry on those runs. I'm going to go with Christian Watson. We went 4-0 on Christian Watson props this year. I did seriously consider Jaden Reed. It is a good spot for Jaden Reed, but I can't do it. You got Romeo Dobbs there, Wicks, and others. I'm going to go with the guy who commands the ball. If you have designs on winning, if you're Matt LaFleur, you're going to get the ball to Christian Watson, who is balling. So 53.5, I think we're going to get there. And I also like Luther Burden the third over 41.5. It is not the best matchup schematically for DJ Moore. He's also a little bit banged up. It's not the best schematic matchup for Roma Dunze, also a little bit banged up. Burden averages a very fat 2.92 yards per route run against zone coverage. If he lines up outside, that's fine. I think he will be inside, but he is crushing it outside the last 6 weeks at 4.56 YPA. That was second best in all of football, better than Puka Nacua. So I'm thinking this is going to be a Luther Burden game. He's got the best matchup here. So there it is. There are my official picks. Kyren Williams over the rushing yards, Tet over the receiving, Dowdle over the receiving, Dowdle under the rushing, Higbee over the receiving, Swift over the rushing, Watson over the receiving, and Burden over the receiving. Stay tuned. Money Moves with Jonathan Von Tobel comes your way at 2 p.m. Eastern, top of the hour. On today's show, Jeff Erickson stops by with his favorite player props for Wild Card Weekend. That is followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 p.m. Eastern. Eastern. Then stick around for VSiN Prime Time with Tim Murray and Matt Humans at 7 p.m. Eastern. I will be focusing from now until next show on Friday on the three Sunday games. We'll be watching a little football, studying all the data. I will have all the official picks on tomorrow's show. I feel like we got to win like 70% of these picks because I have so much more time to look into all these matchups. And I'm being, I think, very judicious with these selections. So until tomorrow's show, you have a good night. We'll catch you manana for another edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN.